עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל.
Welcome back, folks. Matan, I missed you. I really missed you.
Too.
Did you actually, or are you just saying that?
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing? I'm kidding. Of course I missed you.
Last time Matan and I saw each other was Shabbat dinner.
That's true.
At my place with my roommate and Michael Rappaport.
That's true. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
My publicist, she just scolded me. She was like, what? I have to find out a day late that you had a Shabbat dinner with Michael Rappaport. I was like, he's my friend. I don't know. I didn't think it was like an item or something. He's like, of course it is. Start thinking about this stuff. I was like, I'm so sorry. I will tell you everything I do. Like, if you want to make an item of everything, like literally everything I do.
No, it was a big deal. And what the thing that pissed me off the most, though, was this. So my roommate and I, Leah, we ended up catering food because we were stressed. We didn't want to, we had high stakes.
We'll talk about your catering in a second.
And actually, Michael fell for it. Like Leah, we went along with it. Everyone went along with it. Then Leah accidentally slips it out that we cater the food because we thought everyone had known. Michael didn't know. Michael was hyping us up. He was like, you guys are such nice Jewish girls. I'm going to store you guys. Like, this is amazing. I can't believe you cooked. And then Leah blurts it out. Michael didn't hear it. And Matan goes off. He's like, I fucking knew it. I knew you guys catered this stuff.
Listen. Leah, she didn't blurt it out. You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I did not say. Why would I say that?
Me and Michael and me.
Michael and I.
We're looking at the food. And Michael's like,
this is so good.
This is so impressive. Like, they're two like single girls. Roommates, just look at the spread. Like, it's a spread.
We did well.
And I was like, Michael, listen, I'm not going to be fooled. I'm sorry if it's ruined your Shabbat dinner, but this bullshit is takeout.
What gave it away? The quinoa salad?
The quinoa salad with the cranberries. And I was like,
there's no way no one made this.
No fucking way. They have no idea what's inside it. And you girls are going like, oh yeah, did you guys like the schnitzel? Did you guys like the potatoes? And like, we've been slaving all day. And I was like, and I was looking at Michael and I was like, listen.
And he was so impressed.
He was so impressed.
And
he was looking at me like, I think you're wrong. Like, I think those girls really did it. And I'm sitting like across from Michael and you're sitting next to him and you were like going, you were like, so yeah, we made the food. And I was like, fuck you. I knew it. I knew it all along. And Michael was like, what is happening? I was like, I told you they ordered the food. And I was like, I believed you. He felt so betrayed. It was the funniest.
It was so sad. He was about to story us. He was about to be two nice Jewish girls. Just cook this meal. It all went to shit.
I was like, put your phone down.
Exaggerated the situation.
I was like, put the phone down. You're not storying shit. You need to ask them the name of the restaurant. You talk that restaurant because that food is amazing. It had nothing to do with those bits.
It's good food.
It was amazing.
It was good food.
It was amazing food. And you girls are amazing hosts.
Aww.
I thought, like, I came and you told me dinner was at 7. And I was like, okay, dinner is at 7. Like, in my house, 7, 8, around 9.
Yeah, but you're not dealing with Americans. Americans show up on time.
No, I'm not talking about on time. I'm talking about after dinner.
Okay.
Okay,
Wait, let's bring this up. Matan was late again. He texted me at 6:45. Michael's about to be at my place. He's like, Chaim Shelly, I thought it was at 8. I just saw it was at 7. My bad. Always running late. And these Americans arrive on time. They're hungry. They're ready to eat. And this guy, let me remind you what happened with the podcast with Michael. So.
anyway, I thought it's gonna end around like 9.
Same.
People are gonna leave. And I told Erez, the owner of Tana Factory, I was like, listen, I won't be able to come to the early show because it started at 10. But I feel like I don't want to be stressed. Like, put me in the late show because I feel like we're going to sit down. I don't know how long it's going to take. And I don't want to be, like, I have to go to my show.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't eat like Shabbat dinner with Michael Rappaport very often.
Very often. So, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And of course you.
Which we actually, that was our first Shabbat dinner.
Yeah, that
together.
Was our first Shabbat dinner. And we got there and we sat and we ate and it was around 8. And I was like, why didn't I took the early show? Yeah. Like, it looks like,
and it's wrapping up soon.
Yeah. And you guys like, let's move to the living room. And we sat there until 11.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I left at 11. Yeah. And I had so much fun. So many good conversations.
It's amazing.
Like, to really to get the people, because our phones were down.
Yeah.
It was like a legit Shabbat. And I felt really like family.
You felt
like
at
nobody.
Home.
Yeah. And nobody have to like record anything. And you know me, like,
yeah.
I work hard on social media. But for me, those like 4 hours, I think, from 7 to 11,
that was amazing.
I was just having fun, enjoying with my friends. It was Leah's.
Brother David.
David's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really felt like it's a birthday Shabbat dinner.
Shabbat dinner with family.
It was family. So that's how it really felt.
So people listening are going to give us shit for this now too. But we asked our followers what they'd want to hear us discuss on this podcast.
Yeah.
We got around 50 responses. So
We
have a lot to talk about in next episodes also. But I just want to point out three comments that were made.
Okay.
In regards to what they want us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You're and Matan's future together. You and Matan being secretly into each other. And why won't you and Matan date?
Because we're brother and sister.
Guys, once and for all, let it be. Just let it be.
We're brother and sister.
He loves my mom way too much.
Yes, that's true. I would never do that to her mom.
We are siblings, basically, at this point. Yeah. That's
we kind of look alike.
We kind of look alike, too.
Yeah. My
you're going to say your dad.
You're my dad.
I knew it.
I can't believe I have dad stories even in this podcast. My dad is like, you know, English, Hebrew, whatever. He was like, he told me, Shachar, you're going to love this. He told me, why is this Yemenite girl pretend that she's American?
First of all, I'm not Yemenite. I'm half Iraqi, a fourth Czech, and a fourth Turkish. I'm not Yemenite. So tell him that. Not that there's anything wrong with Yemenites. He told me that at Shabbat dinner. I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
why?
My dad, he made me laugh so hard. I couldn't even like, and my brother was like, I know, right? I'm just dying. I'm just like, oh my God. No, she's from Texas. And my dad was like, no she's from not. Stulim. You know what I mean? Like,
there's nothing that offends Iraqis more than being called Yemenites. So,
That
there's anything wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. I love Yemenite. I love Yemenites' food.
Anyway, Dad.
Anyways, whatever.
She's from Texas. I'm
from Texas. Actually, yeah. I'm from Texas and Kansas.
Yeah.
And Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's talk.
The Yemenite Dorothy. Oh, no. The house is flying. Oh, no.
Yemenite Dorothy. Iraqi, please. Mom and Dad, if you're listening. Matan just offended you guys, but he will make up for it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, so let's talk about current events. Tensions high this past week in Israel. I know a lot of us, Aleem, were freaked out. We started stacking up on groceries. We thought a war was going to break out.
Oh my God.
We were all sending in our group chats, okay, let's go buy breads, canned tuna, canned beans, all that stuff. We were panicking. What are your thoughts on what happened, and did we have a reasonable response?
You know, when you're in a classroom and you've been there for a while, it's like you're whatever, you're in seventh grade, eighth grade, whatever, and there's a new student coming in and he doesn't know like how things work, right? So when the teacher says, like, if you guys continue doing this or that, you know, I'm canceling recess, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the new guy is always like, oh my God, guys, let's be quiet. And all like, you know, the veterans are like, shut up. He's not going to do it. Like, come on. Like, what are you stacking up your, like, you know, your notebooks? Yeah. Don't, like, you're not going to stay here forever. So that's the same with Israelis and Americans that made Aliyah. Every time people like Iraq or Iran is going to attack, they're like, oh my God, I have to buy everything and I have to have a lot of like cash. And Israelis are just like, you know what? If this is the end, this is the end. We're exhausted, you know? So that's the same thing.
What do you think I would do if a war started in the north, and Olim as a general group would do if a war started in the north?
You specifically?
Yeah.
Or Olim?
Both. Me specifically and then Olim as a whole category.
Oh, so you're going to run away. Like you do every time, which is awesome.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
It's like the first story is like, I can't believe what's happening. I'm taking a break from social media. And then the second story is like, hey, New York. So happy to be here again.
That's exactly what happened last time.
And then she's like, going to Texas and New York, like walking around, like having a great time. And they're like, I'm so sad. I'm not in Israel right now. I'm like, you know what?
Every single time. Every single time.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to do. What?
Majority Olim, of Olim. Yeah.
I think they're going to join back to reserve service or go like volunteer, whatever, like they did last time.
Or social media activism. Social a lot of the Japs stepped up during the last war.
Yes.
All the Jewish American princesses, they were wartime heroes also. They stepped up to the plate. Yeah.
You girls surprised all of us. All of us. We all thought you're going to be like, I need to take a break from social media, blah, blah, blah. But
no,
you girls
they stepped
just,
up to the plate.
In Hebrew, we say, alula atkafa. They're like all about like offense. You know, the best defense is offense. Yeah. They're like, don't mess with us because, you know, we know social media and we got our dad's money and we're unstoppable.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we're like, oh, shit. Okay. Calm down.
The real wartime heroes, the Japs. Wait, so Matan, what can you tell Olim who are listening, who are panicking about a potential war in the North? What would be your biggest piece of advice?
If panicking about a war is something you do, you live in the wrong country, my friend. You live in the wrong country. Like if talking about war is, you know, stress you out, go visit New York, you know? Go, you know, it's not a bad thing. I can understand that. I grew up here. We all just fucking, like, get it, you know?
Like, but don't you feel like this time it's, like, a little different? Like, World War III vibes?
Every time is a little different.
Okay.
Tomorrow, at April 8th,
they're
saying they're going to activate the CERN Hadron Collider in Sweden. And every time they turn it on, something weird happened. Right? 2012, they have the whole conspiracy about the world ended in 2012. And then the CERN Hadron Collider just jumped us to another reality. That's why there's some things from your childhood that you don't remember. Like, you remember in a certain way, and they're not. Like the magic mirror on the wall. Mirror, mirror on the wall. How do you remember it?
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Never was mirror, mirror on the wall. It was always magic mirror on the wall.
Mind blown right now.
Yeah. So that's the whole like theory about every time that you know, the CERN.
I've never heard of this before. Wow.
Yeah. So it's tomorrow. So I don't.
So Olim, get your flights tonight.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Things are going to get really fucked up. So buckle up.
Whew. Okay, in other international and lighter news, Forbes released its billionaire list for 2023.
Finally, I was waiting.
Well, yeah, you were waiting.
Who are the new billionaires?
Taylor
you know?
Swift is a new billionaire, which is surprising because I had already assumed she was a billionaire. First artist to become a billionaire solely off her music, which is a big deal. Are you a Swiftie, Matan?
No, I'm straight.
There are straight Swifties.
Not really.
Come on, give me one song you like first. Shake It Off, Blank Space.
I appreciate the early days of Taylor Swift.
Oh, you liked her country vibes? You were one of those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When she was like, it's like a blonde, beautiful.
She's still blonde, beautiful.
Country girl.
Okay.
Before she was like, I break up with guys and write songs about it. So I was, I really appreciate what she does. But now it feels like a cult in a way.
I mean, it is a cult.
That's why she's a billionaire. That's why she's a billionaire. She spent the last 10, 15 years.
Her Eras Tours performance, insane. Sold out.
She caused an earthquake. Yeah. Like a literal earthquake. I don't know if you guys know that, but the concert she had, it was reported like 3.4 in Richter, whatever. Yeah. She caused an actual earthquake from the show. So
she's been bringing, and they also reported that she's been bringing business to cities where she's doing concerts. Yeah. At. Like business is booming. Yeah. She's holding the American economy together at this point.
Like this one woman. It's insane.
It's insane. Wait, so you don't like her because she writes songs about breaking up with boys?
I don't like her because lately I feel like she's very repetitive.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was awesome at the beginning and it's really hard to invent yourself every year.
Yeah.
But
she's been doing it.
She's been doing it for a long time and, you know, she's got her own like credit and respect. You can't deny that she's super successful, but it's not my cup of tea.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Respect. I strongly disagree, but respect. I'm a major Swiftie.
Yeah, that's our whole relationship. I strongly disagree, but I respect you.
It's so true. So Swift ranked number 14 on the list of celebrity billionaires with a net worth of $1.1 billion. Can you guess who the top five celebrity billionaires are?
Cristiano Ronaldo? No.
No.
Rihanna?
Yeah, she's number six, actually.
Yeah. I know she's a billionaire.
She's a billionaire. So,
but Taylor Swift is the first?
No, Taylor Swift's number 14 on the list of celebrity billionaires.
But Rihanna's
number 5.
Oh, but not solely for music.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Whoa, I get it. Because Rihanna was a billionaire.
Has perfume, clothing lines, all that stuff.
Rihanna, I remember when Rihanna was the first artist became a million. The first female artist, I think.
Wow.
Or just an artist that became a millionaire. And it was a big talk about that. And she barely performed at the time. She was pregnant. She barely did any music. And then she got her new break in the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rihanna, 100%.
Yeah. So George Lucas, Star Wars, number one celebrity, 5.5 billion. Steven Spielberg, 4.8 billion. Oprah Winfrey, 2.8. Jay-Z and Kim K follow. So it's a good crew. And Taylor Swift now joined the list.
Makes sense. Listen, those people, we all assume they're billionaires, you know?
Yeah.
So nice. This is a very high-end list to get into.
So the total list of Forbes billionaire status was 2,781 billionaires this year. A lot.
2,000 people are billionaires?
So Startup Nation, Israel, how many Israeli billionaires do you think we had on that list? Out of 2,781, yes.
My gamble is 6.
Six out of 2,781.
Yeah.
Wrong. 42.
42.
Which is
Israelis, not Jewish.
Israelis.
42 Israelis.
They made up 1.5% of the billionaire list. That's a big deal.
Control the media. Exactly. Do something.
Exactly.
What do you mean? You have so much money. Help us.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Exactly. So you mentioned Jewish. How many Jewish billionaires?
Oh god.
That's a different,
how many there are total?
Category.
Yeah. how many there are total?
2,781.
2,781. Okay, so 2,769 are Jewish.
So this is according to the last year's numbers, but according to Forbes, Israel, 267 Jewish billionaires.
267, that makes sense.
That's around 10%.
Like 10%. Yeah. 10%.
I didn't know you were good at math.
It's 10%. That's a tip. You don't have
to
you know what I mean? You ever go to a restaurant?
I'm so impressed. Guys, he's a comedian. Ladies watching this, a comedian and he's good at math.
Not at all. That's a false. Not at all. I'm terrible at math. My dad actually was really upset with me because he's amazing with math. And I was not at all.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was really, because I'm his first son. So he was always like,
And his favorite son.
No.
No.
That's not me. No. That's Rami. That's Rami.
That's Rami.
We all know.
Rami.
We all know. My dad is the favorite child of my grandma.
Okay.
And he's not the oldest one.
Okay.
Same. My brother Rami is the same thing. He's not the oldest, but he's the favorite. And Rami is actually my grandma's favorite grandson.
Wow.
Because, you know, my dad is her favorite son, and he went directly to Rami.
Just passed
me. Passed me. Like, whenever I came to visit my grandma in Kiryat Malachi, which is all.
Where's Kiryat Malachi?
Yeah, it's an awful drive. I love Kiryat Malachi, the best city in the world. So whenever I came to visit her, every time, where is Rami? I have some money here.
Give
so
it
you
to
can
Rami.
Give it to Rami.
How old's Rami?
32. Almost 33, I think.
Okay.
And
sweet name, Rami.
Rami, yeah. So, you know, so he's the favorite grandson, and my dad is the favorite kid. And I'm just, you know.
You're just Matan Peretz.
Yeah.
A stand-up comedian.
Yeah. And not good in math at all. I'm just rounding up.
Rounding up.
Yeah.
Okay, so most Americans, I feel like, could rank the top 5 or 6 or 7 billionaires on the whole list.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you could. Who would you say, if you had to guess, the top billionaires on that list would be?
Bezos.
Yep, one of them.
Musk.
Correct.
Gates.
Correct. I'm impressed. Wow.
What do you mean? We hear about him all the time.
Impressed. Okay.
Now that I went with the obvious. Let's see.
Who's the first one? Do you know?
The first one.
First one, with a net worth of $233 billion.
Bezos.
It's a less common name. To be fair, I didn't even know this one.
Who is he?
Bernard Arnault, founder of Louis Vuitton.
Ah, come on.
$233 billion, followed by Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg.
Marky Boy.
Marky Boy, our favorite.
favorite person.
Our favorite Jewish billionaire who stood up for us so much during the war. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg.
He removed all those pro-pallies and everything.
Matan get off shadow ban. Yeah. So sweet of you. 100%. We really appreciate you and everything you do for the country of Israel.
100%. Thank you, Marky.
But yeah, I would say most Americans/Olim could name these people off the top of their
list.
So yeah.
The Louis Vuitton guy?
Except Louis Vuitton. We could name Elon Musk.
He's like a secret billionaire.
I know. $233 billion.
You know what that means?
That's insane.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
He can give every, listen to this. He can give every citizen in Israel $1 million. Every citizen gets $1 million and he wouldn't feel it.
That is true.
He wouldn't true. Like even
math.
Notice
Matan
it.
Math. Woohoo.
Yeah. He wouldn't even notice it. How fucked up that is.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
That's so much money.
It's so much money. It's insane.
What do you do with so much money?
Insane.
Holy crap.
I know. Insane.
Okay. You think he knows how how much is like a carton of milk? You think he knows
There's no way. When you have that much wealth, there's absolutely no way.
You don't know how much things cost anymore,
or
right?
Or maybe you do because you're super smart, but I don't know.
No, but like it's not, you know?
Yeah. Holy crazy, crap. Crazy. Okay, so now I'm curious to see how well you know the Israeli billionaires.
I don't know any of them.
Can you not name even one on
my
list?
My friends are broke, baby. My friends are not even...
What do you mean? The comedian lifestyle isn't?
My friends
isn't good enough?
Are not even a hundred years. None of them. So
but come on, you have to keep up. Americans, we keep up with the Elon Musks, the Bill Gates of America. Why don't you keep up with the ones of Israel?
Because we're a different species. Okay. Americans always think like if I work hard enough, I'll be a billionaire, which is false. But they always have this notion of like, if I put everything into it, like I'm gonna, you know.
Yeah.
And
do you not agree with that?
Hard work, obviously I agree with hard work, but it's a little like you have to have something else. You have to have something like in addition to hard work.
Talent
or whatever. Yeah. Something that you can really like Taylor Swift, that you can really like lift up with an audience or whatever. Or just an amazing business idea.
Yeah.
But you know, it's Israelis, we look at billionaires like a different species. We don't know you guys. Like I'm sorry, you know. Oh, and obviously
that is true.
A good inheritance is always, you know, so, a building on, you know.
Yeah. So let me read you the top 5 billionaires in Israel. Let me know if any of those names sound familiar to you.
Okay.
Eyal Ofer.
Okay, Ofer. Okay. The Ofer malls. Makes sense.
Explain to our...
Okay, so Ofer family is in charge of many, many businesses in Israel and also the Ofer malls, like Kenyone Ofer.
Okay.
So that's Ofer family and they have like oil and stuff and they got...
Everything.
Like something in everything. So that's not surprising at all.
Okay. So yeah, first the Eyal Ofer and then Idan Ofer.
So surprising.
Shocker. Surprise, surprise. Eyal Ofer now worth $24 billion USD dollars and followed by Idan Ofer $15.8 billion. Crazy. Okay, next. Dmitry Bachman.
Bachman?
Yeah.
Dmitry Bachman.
Bachman.
Oh, so if you don't know who Dmitry Bachman is, I don't know either. So good for you, Dmitry.
So him and his brother, because the next number 4 is followed by Igor, his brother.
Oh.
They founded an online gaming company called Playrix. Apparently you can make billions of dollars online gaming companies.
Gaming companies is where the money at, 100%. It's like gel for, you know.
But what is like a gaming, like gambling, like trading companies? Like
gambling.
I think of like Moon Active when I think of that. You know?
No, it's a lot of different platforms, but I think it comes down to how much money addictive people can give to video games.
Old people sitting at home.
Yeah, yeah. Just playing like Candy Crush or whatever. And just, you know, buying lives or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I actually dated a girl that was she worked in a video game company on like a slot machine game.
Okay. I know. I probably know.
And she was in charge on the like sales. And she told me, Like, we were draining those suckers.
Yeah. Does like, it kind of feel like you're, like, le remont? Like, you're, like, cheating
them. You don't
them.
Have to do it.
Like, I'm getting, like, very much Forex vibes. Like, foreign exchange. Like,
it's
like
the closest thing. It's the next closest thing to Forex. Because you told me, like, if we're seeing an active player that's not spending enough money, we come up with those special offers. We come up with, like, tailor-made, amazing, you know, sales that he just cannot refuse. And it starts with like $2, $10, $30, $99, and it gets way worse. And she was like, my bonuses is, you know,
that's insane.
Depended on how suckers, you know, how
that's
much.
That's insane.
And I was like, yeah, so you pick up the check because people are suckers.
You know? That's a tough, like, not tough industry. I feel like I would be feeling like I'm cheating people, like intentionally cheating people.
Yeah,
well,
because
dumb people.
You have a moral compass. Yeah, no, you some know, don't. Not so many people.
Apparently,
you
know. Dmitry Bachman and Igor Bachman
no,
don't
you
have a moral compass.
You don't know because they started a gaming company. Gaming company is a lot of work. There's a lot of work going in into this. You can't. The fact that people are suckers and willing to pay money for a video game.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was top four. Number five, Teddy Sagi, founder of a gambling software company.
Again.
Israelis know how to.
Yeah.
How to rip the system.
Exactly.
And then the youngest billionaire in Israel, he's 35 years old. That's
holy
crazy.
Shit.
Matan, that's your age.
He's my age.
That's insane.
Who's that guy?
What, his name is Rory Resnick.
Okay.
$1 billion net worth. Started co-founder at Wiz Israeli Cloud Security.
Okay.
Roy, if you're listening, are you? I need to know if you're single. So
yeah.
Like, reach out
or
to
you
me.
Have a room for a best friend.
Yeah, or that.
I'm all for it. Like, I will throw Dor out of a window if that would mean that I have a billionaire friend. Or Dor can come with us. You can support, you know, you can help me support Dorita.
It's so crazy though. If you think about the stats though, the fact that Israelis made 1.5% of the billionaire list. That's insane. That's huge.
We make
We
make 25 Jewish people make 25% of Nobel Prize winners.
It's an interesting stat. Wow.
So brains equal money.
Wow.
So yeah. So you better watch out, guys, because 25%. You know how much is Muslim on the Nobel Prize?
No idea.
It's, I think, 2.1 or something, or 0.2, because it's like literature, or whatever, like ancient, like Arabic literature. They got like a Nobel Prize, and good for them. That's amazing. Yeah. But 25%. Of the Nobel recipient.
That's insane.
And I'm talking about like Oppenheimer. I'm talking about like people who, you know, those people.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's funny because Kibi, Michael's wife, came here and she was like, we asked her what she thought about Israel. And she was like, oh, I think it was Kibi or Michael even. I don't remember. They were like, we asked them what they thought about Israel. And they're like, oh, we expected like startup nation, like big buildings and all this stuff. Yeah. And they came here and they're like, what is this? It's like a third world country, like in Tel Aviv. Yeah. But guys, the stats prove it. We are a startup nation. At least this year. I don't know about.
And you come here every week. Like, we love you guys. And you come visit us like we're fucking Mykonos. Like you're coming here every other weekend. And it's just so much fun. Like, my family asked me like, can you please invite Michael to Shabbat dinner? And I was like, sure. Like, next time he'll be here. And my mom, it sounded to my mom like an excuse. And she was like, but no, but who knows when it's going to be next time? I was like, next week, mom, don't worry. Like, he's in love with this place. Don't worry about it. Yeah. She was like, oh, it's like that. Okay, cool. So, so Michael, you're invited to my family.
What about me?
When I'm saying Michael, I'm meaning Michael, Kibi, you and Leah.
Oh, and David, maybe David. Okay.
We'll see how my family reacts.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll see.
I can't wait to meet your dad.
Yeah, you won't see much of him because he hates people. But you know, you will see him, and then you he will disappear.
So,
I have to prove to him that you're actually from Texas. He won't believe me.
I'll bring my cowboy hat and my cowboy boots.
No, he will just look at you. My dad decides.
You're fake.
My dad decides when people are Yemenites, and it doesn't even close.
I'm not Yemenite.
It's not. He always used to ask me, when we were kids, he always used to ask me, where's your Yemenite friend? And I was like, he's Persian. I was like, and my dad was like, no, he's not. He's Yemenite, and stop participating in this charade that he's Persian. I was like, Dad,
what is your dad Moroccan?
Yeah.
And your mom also?
No, my mom is Kurdish.
Okay. Would you consider your dad...
And Spanish.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Would you consider your dad racist?
Like in a fun way. You know what I mean? Like, he's having fun with it. He's not actually racist. No. Listen.
In a fun way.
Let me explain myself. First of all, racism could be fun. Let's start with that. But let me
explain. Matan's trying to cover for his dad right now.
Not at all. He can do, you know, for his own. But let me explain it that way. Our grandparents are hella racist.
Super racist. Wow.
There's some questions you 100%. Just don't ask because you don't want to hear the answer, you know?
100%.
And then our parents, they have a little bit of that, but they're not racist. They're just like, they took the jokes, you know? Yes. They're just like, oh, he's Ethiopian, let him walk. You know what I mean? Just like, it's like in a fun way. It's not disrespectful. Yeah. It doesn't mean to hurt. And obviously, they accept everyone. My sister married a Russian guy. The other sister, Tamari, married an Ukrainian guy. Like, my dad started with like, what is happening? Like, why are you hosting? Like, why are this family hosting Europe? Like, what is going on? But really, he's got no problem with it. Yeah. So that's what's really important.
Yeah. So Matan's dad is a fun racist.
Yeah. What a cool way. Yeah. Exactly. You can't actually be racist when everyone's Moroccan or Yemenite around you.
The grandparents thing is so spot on, though. When I go visit Ronana, to see my grandma, my Turkish grandma, every time, are you dating a ex-boy? Yeah. I'm not going to say which race it is, you know?
Yeah.
Are you dating an ex-boy? Please don't date an ex-boy, blank boy. Mm. And I'm like, I'm not dating anyone. And if I were to date a blank boy, you would be the last person I tell. She would never let it go. Never forget it.
I know, but that's how grandmas are. Yeah. They wire differently.
Yeah, they're wired differently. And she has, you know, soul dementia.
Oh, yeah. So who cares who you date?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, she remembers. She clings on to things. One time I told her I went on a date with blank boy, and she asks me every single time.
Oh, wow.
So it sticks. The race sticks in her head.
My grandma's, my mom's mom also got a little bit of dementia going on. And at some point, like, obviously I love my grandma and she's amazing. But at some point, I'm just telling her I'm married, you know? Like, it's...
Like, and she believes it.
Yeah. She's like, did you got married? And I was like, yeah, it was awesome. Don't you remember? You walked me down the aisle, grandma. What is going on? She's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't. I'm like, yeah, she's awesome. She's like, where is she? I was like, she's working. I told you.
That's amazing. I'm going to start doing that.
I'm so sorry.
You know, at least in their final few years, let them have kiruksat nachat.
Yeah.
Let them feel relaxed.
Don't bother them with your fucking problems.
Right. I should start doing that. I'm going to use that trick.
So like, she's like, are you married? Yes.
I'm going to start using that trick. Yeah. So quickly back to Startup Nation and Jews dominating the world and Israeli billionaires. Do you feel like, I know a lot of Uli move here and are like, wow, I want to live a really nice lifestyle in Israel and Tel Aviv, and I want to make a lot of money. Like, I want to be able to make the same success that my parents made for our family back home. Mm-hmm. What would you say to Olim who moved here, who are trying to build their career and hope to one day be on Forbes billionaire list in Israel?
First of all, you need to have a very thick skin. This whole like pretending to be nice and polite that you guys do in the United States doesn't fly here. We'll say shit to your face that you wouldn't believe.
I thought you were going to say, first of all, leave.
No. You can come here and do whatever you want to do and, you know, really make your dream come true in Israel. And that's the most special thing, because your parents or your grandparents was here at some point. They left. You guys came back here. And it's amazing that you can, because if you look at refugees from like Arab countries that ran away to United States, Canada, Australia, whatever, they can't go back. They don't want to go back. There's no way they're going back to like, you know what? I'm going back to Iran to, you know, build my business. No, but you have this in Israel. So please come do it. It's amazing. And you guys, you just have to, you know, you just have to
Develop thick skin.
Develop thick skin and understand that people are not rude. That's the main thing. Like,
except Israeli girls.
We're not rude. You're just very, very, very polite. So if the truth offends you, it's not being rude. It's being truthful, and I want to help you. But if everybody's like, oh, that's amazing, you know, American, yeah. Oh my God, that's so beautiful, that's amazing. So, you know, you can get a real feedback. And if you want to build something that will last, you need a real feedback.
Yeah.
So accept that.
Very true. Wise words from Matan Peretz, an up-and-coming Forbes billionaire. Forbes billionaire list 2024, Matan Peretz.
That's true. That's
youngest true. Billionaire in competition with Roy Resnick.
Me and Roy. BFFs, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I know we haven't done this in a few weeks with you on the podcast, but we had some really good hot takes that are dying to be discussed.
Let's do this, okay? Let's do this. I love hot takes. That's my favorite. That's my favorite segment.
I know. We had some juicy takes.
Okay.
So, I love the sound of mock coat on the beach.
You know what? I hate it. Let's be completely honest. I hate it.
I feel a butt coming. But
there's a lot of people that I know that find the sound of matkot soothing.
So fascinating.
Like rain. They like... and people are just like, ah. You know what I mean? That's weird. It's not
me. Sweet relief. Matkot noise.
It's not me, but it's some people... It's, you know what? I was surprised as you. That people actually will listen to that, and that makes them... Like, they fall asleep at the beach when people playing over their head. Yeah,
that is true.
You know?
That is true. I don't know. When I first saw it, I thought it was pretty controversial because everyone hates the sound. But now that you're speaking about it, maybe it's a little less controversial than I thought.
You need to come to Ashdod.
I don't need to come
you
to Ashdod.
You need to come
Stop
to Ashdod.
Stop talking about Ashdod. Oh my God. Even with Michael and Kibi at Shabbat dinner. Guys, Ashdod is the best place. Like,
it is.
You guys need to go.
It is. What do you mean? You guys are like, oh, Tel Aviv. Oh, Tel Aviv. Oh my God. Don't make me go outside of Tel Aviv, please. I'll melt.
Ashdod field trip, guys. Olim and Teal, Ashdod
trip.
Field
that's 25 minutes away.
Why does it sound like an hour away?
It's not.
Do they have Walt in Ashdod?
Yeah.
Oh, they do? I'm down. Okay, I'm going there. We can go there. Olim, we'll survive a day in Ashdod.
I don't think Ashdod wants you at that point. I apologize to Ashdod right now. Apologize. Nobody there knows English, but apologize.
Do they have Olim in Ashdod?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do? Wow.
Yeah, mainly from Russia. And France. Oh, my God. Listen, the only place on earth that France people love more than the Eiffel Tower is fucking Ashdod. Let me tell you this. Ashdod and Netanya. Holy moly.
Really? Netanya, I knew. Ashdod?
Oh, my God. They're buying like 100 of apartments there, and they only visit during the summer.
Is Ashdod the new up-and-coming Tel Aviv? Like...
Ashdod, for a while now, for the past, I think, 7 to 5 years, maybe 10 years even, I worked there at a website that, you know, covers all the restaurants in Ashdod. And I was like, restaurants in Ashdod, ugh, that's an awful job. And I worked there for 3 months. Listen, some of the best restaurants in Israel are located in Ashdod. Some of the, and I'm talking about Italian, whatever, barbecue.
Fascinating. Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow. The culinary scene in Ashdod is unbelievable.
Like only.
And there's a beach. And
that's so
clean. Everything is clean. The streets are very wide. I think they're going to do like a public transportation, special lane, whatever. And listen, Ashdod is beautiful.
Wow. Most underrated city. Olim never hear about this stuff. We don't know.
Because like, you don't hear about anything outside of Tel Aviv.
We know a little Herzliya. Come on. IDC vibes, all that. We know Herzliya. But no, outside of Tel Aviv and Herzliya, we don't.
Listen, Ashdod.
Guys, we need to go to Ashdod.
I need to some money from Ashdod.
Who's down? I'll organize an Olim and TLV Yom Kif.
Yeah, Yom Kif.
Yom Kif. With Matan, our tour guide.
Yes. I'll take you guys to all the like amazing places.
We'll bring some security guards, soldiers.
We'll do birthright all over again.
I actually think that could be
You know what? Listen.
I think that could be an amazing idea.
I think we should start a program that taking Olim outside of Tel Aviv.
I think it's amazing.
Every day, like a special city.
I think it's amazing.
Right?
We'll do a birthright style. We'll bring soldiers. We'll video it. We'll do a reality TV show. Our next idea. Yeah. Okay.
She's
okay.
always taking it over the top.
We'll talk about it
we'll
after.
Pitch it to Netflix. No, listen. I'm just going to go to Ashdod and eat some French fries. Just relax. Where are you going? Just relax. We'll see how Ashdod works.
Okay, and then we'll talk.
We'll think about the reality TV show. Okay.
Okay, deal. Okay, next one. Arsim ruin all the good parties.
That's true.
That's true. Not a hot take.
That's 100% true.
I was going to make it a valid take, but I wanted to debate it.
I'll tell you something even more. That I was a bartender for 3 years. And in a place that really didn't let any Arsim in.
Okay.
Now, they didn't tell them to leave when they came. It's just the place, the secret is, because if you're in Ashdod, obviously a lot of Arsim are going to come. So the secret is that you just put a very specific type of music. You don't sell their favorite beverages. There's no vodka Red Bull going on. Nothing. No vodka Red Bull. No. And then, like, you know, over time, they just don't come. Like, they just sit there. They go inside. They sit there for like 10 minutes. And then they leave.
But is that a smart business move? Because I feel like Arsim come and spend so much money. Like, Chalvata, they literally Arsim fun Chalvata.
That's true. But
so if I was a business owner, I mean.
That's very true. But the thing is that Arsim are finding it very hard to enjoy if other people are not suffering. That's the thing. They enjoy the most when other people are suffering. That's why they're being so loud. That's why they're always like bumping into people, because they will have the best time if the people around them are suffering, right? So in that place in Ashdod called Schlumper, where I worked for 3 years, they talked about this. They were like, listen, Arsim give like huge tips. They always come with their dates. They always try to impress. They always like buy the whole
spend
bar.
Spend so much money, yeah.
But it doesn't worth the uncomfortable feeling that people in the bar feel. So when they eliminated that aspect of Arsim coming, a lot of girls started to come, a lot of people, all of like.
So did that balance out the losses taken from Arsim? Like, did they build a P&L, like a profit and loss? Like,
no, okay, I don't
like,
think.
We're losing the Arsim, we're going to make money off the girls. Like,
I think it's worth the aspect of this is a safe place. There's never fighting. There's never chairs flying around. There's never like, you don't have to have like a big, like three security guards. You know what I mean? Yeah. Over time, people know that they go there to relax and don't have to fight. So, you know.
Got it. Okay. Got to know.
It's 100% true.
It's 100% true.
And not just for Americans, for Israelis.
100%.
Yeah. If you have a brain, Arsim will bother you.
Okay. Next. Eyal Shani is overrated.
100% true. 100% true. Eyal Shani sells the most basic bullshit on earth and expect people to pay like 150 shekels. It's a fucking pita with tomato. F*** you.
I personally agree, but I know a lot of Olim / Americans won't agree. You know, he opened up all these restaurants in New York. Everyone's freaking out over the restaurants in New York. Sold out. It's crazy.
Listen.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
He's an amazing chef. Let's say that. He's an amazing chef. He's got a Michelin star. Whatever. I'm not disrespecting his chef abilities. I'm just saying that he understood that you don't have to make like super fancy food to attract people. He was like, I'm going to be in the United States. I'm going to sell some fucking pitas with asado.
A cauliflower in an oven with the salt.
I went there in New York and I was blown away. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's
but
great.
It's so overly fucking priced. Simple.
And overly priced.
And overly priced. Yeah. That you're like, listen, it's a nice experience to have every once in a while, but you don't have to freak out about 100%. Everything he does. Like, not everything he does is pure genius. Sometimes it's just tomatoes.
Literally. Or a cauliflower.
Or a cauliflower.
That you can make for $5.
Exactly.
So yes, overrated. Okay.
We love you.
But we love you. You're doing amazing work in New York. All my friends love you. They're obsessed. Okay. Mozzarella sticks should exist as a late night snack in Tel Aviv.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Oh my God, mozzarella sticks. Why don't we have them here?
I don't know, and it upsets me.
How do we make this happen? Which restaurant chain can we insert this into?
We'll start a company.
Stop you and your ideas.
Yeah.
And we'll leave a TLV mozzarella sticks in the next business.
That's what you were about to say. That's what you were about to say. Barazani sticks, we're going to call it.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah. But that sounds kind of...
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be a body's, you know, worst competitor. Oh my God.
That would be, imagine 2 a.m., you just had a crazy night out on Rothschild and you're really drunk. and you go and have these mozzarella sticks. You dip it in tomato sauce.
Marinara sauce.
Ooh-wee. Not tomato sauce. Marinara sauce or ranch.
Or ranch.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yes,
we gotta, please, if anyone's listening, make it happen. Okay.
No, but it's not really. Like, you have, like, the Gvina Tsuba sticks.
Yeah.
But it's nice, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
And you can really fry it.
You want a deep fried one.
I know where this is going. Americans fry everything.
We fry everything. Especially
you guys just fry everything.
Especially Texans.
Oh, my God. Exactly. So, yeah.
Fried pickles, fried everything.
Mozzarella sticks.
Make it happen, guys. Listeners, make it happen. Okay, last one. Get drivers, give the best advice.
Really? I don't even get that much, but you'll tell me. I don't know.
So yes and no. I mean, there are some who give amazing advice. You'll be sitting with them and, you know, that 40-minute drive from Ben-Gurion Airport to Tel Aviv, they'll be talking your heads off, giving you advice about making Aliyah and stuff. But others are just, like, weird and creepy. Mm. But apparently a really hot take, people were commenting, no, get drivers are so annoying. They're the worst. And other ones are
saying, they're not the worst. Listen,
depends.
Guys, taxi drivers in general, you know, they live on the road. So you can't really judge those people. I will kill myself 100%. I will kill myself in the second shift of this shit. I will fucking drive off a fucking bridge and end it all. I will 100% do it, especially with the traffic jams and whatever. 2 days, 48 hours. That's what I give myself before I fucking drive inside Yalcon River. Like, you know what I mean? Take the seatbelt off and just fly. Yeah. So, you know, the level of...
Do you think it's creepy if a taxi driver, I've had this happen to me twice, this would never happen in America, offers you candy?
Yeah, they do it all the time.
It's so weird.
They have like candies.
It's like a little, you know, like, I don't know. They want you to rate them.
I said a few days ago,
little girl, do you want candy?
No, it's not. Women always make it like little girl. You want? Nobody gives a shit if you're a woman or a guy. I've been offered candy multiple times.
Oh, you have been
offered
candy? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Water, whatever that will make you rank them higher.
Because
the competition is fierce.
Yeah.
And I think that made a lot of taxi drivers really calm the fuck down. Because before Get Taxi, they were really like to the point of just fucking fighting people.
Wow.
And then Get Taxi came along and the whole rating system came.
Yeah.
And Uber got stopped because Israeli taxi drivers. So they always know something is coming and they always, you can rank them.
Yeah.
That's why they're offering candy and they're offering you water, whatever you want to charge your phone, whatever. Yeah. So we got that under control. It's a very Israeli thing to like offer you candy or a gum or whatever, even if it's not a taxi driver. Just say we're going for a drive. I'm going to offer you some shit that I got. You know, you don't have to take it. You don't have to be like,
oh my god, no.
You just either take the candy or not. No.
Fair. So one last thing about get taxi drivers. When I studied abroad here, when I was 20 years old, we lived at the Einstein dorms in Ramat Aviv, and we had this cab driver named Ron who just waited out there for us. Every time he knew exactly when the American girls would be going out and exactly when they would be coming back. And I was like, this is real service, like right here.
That's a very smart business decision.
Very smart. Was waiting on the dot. We didn't even have to text him. We got his number also. I don't know if that's too much, but.
No, that's
good, right?
Not
that's
at
fine,
all.
Yeah.
If he's
the go-to.
Your
Ron,
go-to
if you're listening, Get Taxi driver. You were amazing, phenomenal. Thanks for waiting for us outside of Kul Yalma every night at 2:30 in the morning. Amazing.
Why not?
Amazing service, guy.
Unbelievable. I had a guy like that in Mexico. And I don't know.
Mexico stories, they're always in Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what about my appearance? I really, like, I'm being honest right now. Something about my appearance just got him, like, he was like, you look like my cousin. And I was like, okay, thank you, I guess. I guess your cousin is very handsome. And he was like, no. I was like, okay. That's a very weird thing to say. But ever since that moment that he kind of like backhanded complimented me.
Kind of.
He was just like, if you need anything, let me know. If you need anything about
That's so sweet.
If you need to know stuff about the hotels you're going to be in, let me know. When you come to Cancun, he was driving me from Playa del Carmen to Cancun to Tulum. He was just happy. We had the best conversations. Well, really the best conversations ever. And I was like, this is very cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what is happening, but this is very good. Like, help me with everything. And so, yeah. So sometimes it happens. Not just to women.
Not just to American girls. Yeah. Okay. okay, folks, that's it for today.
What?
Wow. Yeah. I know. Hot takes are the last piece of the conversation.
Holy moly.
But we'll be back with more current events. We'll be, we'll listen.
We got a lot to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about.
And we're trying to make this podcast more of like escape kind of thing of the reality.
Yes.
We promised ourselves that we, obviously we're going to talk about a situation a little bit because you can't ignore it. But we want to give you guys 30 minutes, 40 minutes of just pure, you know, talking about billionaires, talking about the Kardashians, talking about shit.
Yes, yes.
If you guys
We're
got suggestions.
Pop culture to Tel Aviv.
If you guys got suggestions or topics that you want to discuss, please.
Yes.
Follow.
No, I'm a ton and I dating though.
No, unfortunately. follow Olimin TLV. Follow Odioter. Pages on Instagram.
Follow Matan Peretz.
Follow me if you want to laugh and, you know, have a good time. And suggest everything. Yep. Usually what we do, what Shachar does is he posts it on Sunday like a question box. So just like, but you do it like on Thursdays or Wednesdays, whatever.
I'll start doing them more often too.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're getting into
before
it.
Before we're recording because people are giving great topics.
Yes.
In my podcast, me and Raz have the podcast here in Hebrew. Nichnasim Lepinot. We get great topics. We get some
general
stuff.
Topics or current event topics?
Everything.
Both.
Whatever you want to suggest, whatever you want us to talk about and discuss, please.
Send it over.
Yeah, because the podcast is really built on what you guys want to hear.
Yep.
We obviously have our own topics, but if you guys have something specific that you want to know or some topics you want us to talk about, please let us know.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Until next time.
And of course, you can listen to us on Spotify.
You can
watch us on YouTube. Clips are going to be posted on in Olim TLV.
And we can finally collab because Matan is off shadow band.
Oh my God. Woo. I can collab so you can see
until
it.
Until you're shadow banned again.
Shut the fuck up already. Why?
Knock on wood. Yeah. It's okay. Mark Zuckerberg is on your side, don't
worry. Yeah, but hopefully. Yeah, so you can watch us everywhere. You can listen to us everywhere. Just please do. We love you guys. Thank you.
We love you. עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל. הוקלט באולפני אדיו, המשווקת את ספוטיפיי בישראל. אדיו.